ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Should I go or you go? Should I go or you go? I never know what to do in this situation. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS. The sports animal, Jared Atha, in studio. We have Aaron Calc. He is on location. He is actually about a block and a half away at Ackley Park, getting ready for the big regional matchup, regional tournament, the Elk City Elks hosting for the first time in what we think is about 20 years, and a big opportunity for them to get the state, and it starts today with their game coming up at 11 o'clock. So that is why Aaron is over there. It's why I am right here. I hope to get over there and help him out setup-wise in a little bit. I'm anxious for today, Aaron, because we have a lot of sports to talk about, a lot of sports happening, especially involving a lot of local schools. First and foremost, how are you, buddy? Are you all set up? Are you ready to go? Or are you still – I think I know the answer. I think you're still kind of getting things situated.
Yeah, you probably hear a bunch of stuff rattling around. As just kind of getting – I had a feeling an hour after the show wasn't going to be enough. So here I am doing as much as I can without you. I know one thing. I'm going to need to put on a hoodie and some pants for this first game for sure, because it's just a little bit chilly and that wind blowing in from left center field toward the right field foul pole here out of the Northwest. It's a little bit chilly here at Ackley Park, but you know what? We're going to play baseball, and you know why? Because it's a beautiful turf field I'm looking at from right behind the home plate. So it's all good. It's all good to go. And that's certainly not the case for a lot of places across the state after last night.
Yeah, after last night, I was thinking, you know, we did get some rain out here, believe it or not, even though the heavy stuff, I think, kind of split the Elk City proper, but did get some rain, but not one time did I worry about not playing today because of that turf field you mentioned. I'm sure it's already dry because of the wind that's blowing on through. But I think looking at the weather, I think we're going to have a nice day by the end of the day. So a nice day for some baseball, especially tomorrow, too, as we should return to the 80s with a light northwest breeze. I don't think that we've had that this year. We're going to be in the mid-80s with a light breeze. It's going to be a perfect day, almost a hot day for some baseball. Can't wait. So tell us first off, before we get right into it, don't forget a lot of ways you can stay connected with the Skinny on Sports, KADS, the sports animal, KADS. .com. I'm all over the place today because I'm juggling right now. Also on the Paragon app, you can stream us right there live. I know we've had some issues on 98.1 FM. We are on 1240 AM, but we are streaming too. So you can stream us on there. I mentioned KADSAM.com. You can find our replays of our shows right there. Follow us on iTunes. You can get the podcast, the replay of the show. What am I missing? Oh, by the way, Paragon app gets you everything from KADS, KECO, Cool 94. You get the Penny News, which is physically in newsstands right now. Going out and pick up the latest edition of the Penny News, always full of great, great deals. I mean, listen, I know the Penny News works is when I get, like a couple weeks ago, I got an email from the girls up front said, "We don't have room for your news because we have too much ads." So that tells me, like, hey, I will gladly be bumped as long as we get some great ads in there. That means the Penny News works. It can work for you, too. And what am I missing? I think I got it all covered. Now, let's go right back into what we're talking about. Baseball today, first game at 11 o'clock. The host team, Elk City Elks, the number one seed, obviously. Who they play, Aaron, and what's the schedule look like? Why don't you update us right there?
Yeah, so 11 o'clock, it'll be the Elks in Mount St. Mary. Elk City comes in 24-9. I'm not looking at my sheet, but I think that's right. 24-9 on the year, as you mentioned. They're the number one seed in this regional by way of winning District 4. And so you've got Mount St. Mary here in Elk City at 11. Immediately calling that one, it'll be Bing and Lone Grove. Bing comes in, 20-6. I think Lone Grove's right around there as well, like 22-8. So those will be the first two games. Winners will play at 4 o'clock. The losers will play at 6:30. So, you know, really, with the way the pitching rules are, I know I asked Jay after he was on yesterday. Basically, here's how the pitching rules work. Anything, one pitch to 35 pitches, you can come back the next day. 36 to 50, you set a day. 51 to 75, you set two. So, you know, that's it's a really interesting conversation to have, I think, about how you want to set that up. You could probably get yourself a little bit psyched out, quite honestly, when you think about, okay, you know, what if we scored 10 runs in the first inning? You know, do you try to hold somebody, you know, underneath a certain level of pitch count and just kind of make it through? You know, how do you handle your pitching staff? You know, obviously, we talked to Jay yesterday. You've got cash whenever you need him, whenever you want him. Probably, if everything went exactly how you'd want it to, he would throw at 4 o'clock this afternoon. That would get you into the regional final tomorrow at 3:30. So it'll be, you know, that's the one thing outside of just playing baseball games that is always has to be on your mind as a coach is where are we at with the pitch count? Is there a way, can we take advantage of something there with the way a game is going that maybe you didn't anticipate going into it? And so we'll see kind of how that works. But I anticipate today, right here off the bat, it'll be Cooper Church on the mound for the Elks in game one, and having cash available for that winner's bracket game if you're able to get past Mount St. Mary.
Again, a big opportunity, and as you heard right before we go on the show, and Coach McClure on with us yesterday, you got some time, head on out there. The perfect thing about this game is maybe take a lunch break a little early, right? Go out there at 11 o'clock, get yourself a hot dog, root on the Big Elks. If you can't show up at noon, but it might be too late, the way the bats have been ringing for the Elks. But, you know, go on out there if you have an opportunity and check out this team because, like you mentioned, it's not a flash-in-the-pan program. This is the beginning of something we think could be very special for not just the end of this season but moving forward. And you get to see that right here in our own backyards, right here in Elk City at beautiful Ackley Park. Other sports happening today. Golf, 4A Girls State Tournament happening over at Buffalo Rock in Cushing. Supposed to be started, about 15 minutes ago. That's not happening. Being told it will be a shotgun start at high noon. And looking at the weather there, I think by then the rain should push off. Have you been studying that one, Aaron?
No, I knew that that was the case, that it was going to be a shotgun start at noon for the girls' golf there in Class 4A at Cushing. I know that some of the golf got played yesterday. If I can run down here, let me get my sheet. 2A girls, which is Merritt, they were able to get some – oh, it's in the truck. Anyway, they were able to get some golf in yesterday. Let's see, Merritt's is their fourth. Way behind first, Turner's going to be the state champion. I think they got like a 50-shot lead after the first round. But then there's a group, I think Merritt's 15 behind second. So, you know, that's doable with a good day to be able to creep into that top two. Individually, Kiara Stair had a 91 to lead Merritt. I think she's seventh individually right now going into round two. Let's see, Lexi Frazier shot 100. Daly Pollard shot 101. Peyton Broadbent shot 109, and Taylor Ford shot 110, I think is the scores for the Merritt Oilettes. So they in fourth place and with a chance to get second. I mean, that's a pretty good accomplishment for a program that's just a couple of years old.
I was going to say, and some other teams in that 2A, you mentioned the leader being
– Moreland.
Moreland is right there
at second.
Kind of our local team. I know their home course is Boiling Springs, if I'm not mistaken. Mangum is playing, but they're second to last. But, I mean, they're there. Some other familiar teams. Hooker has a team there. I know the head football coach coaches their girls' golf. So that's pretty cool. And then you mentioned Stair, right? She is at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In seventh place, shot a 91 in her first round. So you never know. Might be a chance to move up individually right there for her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And without 100% knowing how old I am, it seems like she might be a senior. So you're talking about All-State consideration also, being one of the top two seniors out of the west side of the state there for Kira Stair. So there's a lot to play for the Oilerettes here this afternoon.
I know we're kind of bouncing around, but back to the 4A girls, you know, other teams in this one, Weatherford's there, of course, Elk City, Clinton in it. I'm looking at some familiar teams that that we're going to hear about all day today over there at Buffalo Rock. And that also reminds me, we'll have updates throughout the day on BigElkTV.com. Now, because of this start time at noon, I'm sure the first one won't come in till maybe at the earliest 12:30, 12:45, depending on how much stuff is sent our way. And so keep an eye on BigElkTV.com throughout the day. We'll have updates on that one. And then, of course, baseball will be on BigElkTV.com. Now, you're asking yourself, how's that going to work? Well, if you haven't seen it, go to BigElkTV.com. And we've created multiple streams right there on the front page. So click what sport you want to watch, click play, and you're good to go. Golf will be on the front page, and baseball has its own individual tab. And so does soccer. We have girls soccer tonight up in Woodward, second round of the 4A playoffs. The Elk City Elkettes looking to continue their run towards the state title. Another tough out with the Lady Boomers, and that's always fun when Elk City and Woodward play in anything. And that's happening tonight at 7:30 up in Woodward. And I don't think they'll have any problems with weather by that time either. So that's the three main sports we're keeping an eye on today. When we got off the air yesterday, going back to baseball, the smaller classes, Class A and B, the news broke that everything in those state tournaments, all the games are pushed back a full day. So what that means, at least locally, for Class A, we'll start there. Canute will play at 1:30 tomorrow, all at Shawnee. And in Class B, we have Granite, and they will play at 1:30 over at DeLisi Park in Oklahoma City. Also, yeah, 1:30 against number one Roth. That's a very highly anticipated game. So first round on Friday, semifinals on Saturday, and then championship games. Both championship games will be played at Shawnee. That'll happen on Monday afternoon. First one, the Class A at noon, followed by Class B. So an update on that one. And again, looking at the weather for Friday across the state, it looks beautiful. So this just makes more sense, as we saw last night, more rain, especially in the Shawnee Seminole area, more rain and severe storms blew on through. So it gives them time to get the fields ready for a state tournament. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, you got that. And also in the 4A regionals.
Yes.
I know Clinton got rained out today at Blanchard. So the Red Tornado is not going to start till tomorrow for their regional. And then Weatherford, I believe, they are going to play at Marlow, but it's like a two-hour delay. So you've got Weatherford and, Weatherford playing today in their regional at Marlow, but Clinton not. Clinton got rained out at Blanchard. So they're going to have kind of the same thing as A and B state tournament, I guess, probably.
Well, I just pulled it up, and they do have it updated. Clinton will play tomorrow at 2:15. If they were to lose, they play at 6:45. If they win, they play at 4:30 on Friday. The Saturday games are loser's bracket, 2 o'clock, championship game, 4:30. And the if necessary game, Aaron, is actually going to be played on Sunday.
Saturday.
No, it's on a Sunday at 1 p.m. So I don't think I've ever seen that in the history of the OSSAA, an event being played on a Sunday. But I guess both or all teams got together and said, we're okay with it. So that's happening. So this is updated on OSSAA.com. Go to the sport, find the brackets, and you can see these updated times. Kudos to the OSSAA for quickly getting these updated. So that's right. Everything pushed back a day, but instead of Monday, it'll be on a Sunday, the if necessary game. So they're going to look to wrap this up on Saturday and at the latest Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Well,
now, Weatherford, let me go ahead. I'm sorry.
That probably, you know, for kind of a catch-22, I guess, pitching-wise, that makes sense for the team that qualifies for the state tournament, right? If there's an if game, it gives you that extra day of rest.
Absolutely.
For whoever you might want to throw first on the next Thursday. But at the same time, you probably want that extra day on Sunday to maybe get somebody ready to get you to the state tournament. So that's pretty interesting that that's going to be a Sunday finish there in Blanchard. But, yeah, you're right. Kudos to the OSSA for getting it out there already.
And now, what did you mention about
pretty quick turnaround
Weatherford over at Marlow? Because I'm not
seeing. I think they were delayed a couple hours from what I had understood this morning.
Okay.
They got a little bit of rain in Marlow. They're going to play today, but it seemed like they were pushed back to maybe a 1:30 and a 4 o'clock start or something like that.
Well, their game
there at Marlow.
Okay. All right. The first game was supposed to start at the same time as ours here, 11.
Right.
All the times are the same, but this isn't updated. So,
okay. Yeah, I heard that driving.
Either they haven't gotten to it yet, or a gentleman's agreement. They said, okay, this is what we're doing, and they let. I don't know. So that we'll obviously keep an eye on that. But they are playing today, so we'll see. We'll get some results by this time tomorrow. From Marlow. Okay. I think we got all that covered. Want to take a break? Catch your breath. Come back. See what we got to talk about. Yeah. NBA playoffs last night.
Literally catch my breath.
I know. And you're running on some limited. Now, you were here covering weather last night. So
I was indeed.
Did you
weather
get some?
Happening.
Were you here long? Did you get some sleep?
I was gone by about. Darn. It was 11, maybe.
Not horrible.
Yeah,
I've been here later.
It's been worse.
It's been worse.
No doubt. We've all had a worse night than
I had. It's been worse. And on a serious
night.
Note, you know, thoughts and prayers to everyone. I know they can't hear us, but you never know. But those over there in the Seminole area, I was watching that unfold live. And that just gives me that sinking feeling in your stomach when you see that unfolding on TV, that tornado running through Seminole, a beautiful. If you've never been to Seminole, I'd encourage you. It's one of those old towns in Oklahoma, classic towns. And big thought, or our thoughts to them over there as they clean up this morning. But thankfully, haven't heard of any injuries or anything else. So,
I'll tell you what else I would encourage you to do if you ever go to Seminole.
Yeah.
As you're getting off the interstate, if you go straight down the interstate.
I think I know what you're going to say. Tell me.
The Catfish Roundup.
It's right there, same exit as Prairie.
It is.
Yeah.
Exit 200.
That's it.
The Catfish Roundup. Yeah, they give you really good catfish, and they also feed you free apple fritters. Just telling you, it's a good spot. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I know there's going to be a lot of now Seminole State is obviously in Seminole, and they have a junior college over there that play some really good baseball. I know a couple of kids from Canute going to head that way, so there might be some mommies and daddies making some trips over there and stop at the Catfish Corral a few times.
I'm telling you right now, if there's, I may not know a lot about very much, but I know about good food. Okay, if you look at my physique, you know that I know what I'm talking about when it comes to food. And by golly, the Catfish Roundup is an awesome spot. Exit 200 on I-40. So if you're going to Seminole. Just right there is exactly where you want to be at the Catfish Roundup.
Well, it's gotten to the point when we go to away football games, and no offense to the football program, but yes, there is a game, but the first thing we look at on a schedule is where are we going and where are the good places to eat? And you're usually the one that can find them. You're the ones that, I know about this place here or that place there. We got to try this place. I've always heard about it. So, yeah, you always find the good places to eat. Let's take a timeout. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got to give that up. That was my wife and father-in-law that found this
one. He found that one?
But they did a fantastic job.
Awesome. Surely it doesn't beat Simon's Catch, though.
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
Jared with you. In studio, we have Aaron on location. He is over at Ackley Park getting ready for the 4A Baseball Regional Elk City, the host team. It's a four-team tournament, double elimination, real simple, and the Elks start things off at 11 o'clock. So Aaron's over there setting up, getting ready for that one. That will be on BigElkTV.com. Aaron, what time do you think your pregame's going to start?
Maybe 10 till.
Okay.
Hope for a 10:50, something like that.
We'll get it all in there, and then we're going to get all that covered for you. And man, it's every time I go over to Ackley Park, I'm blown away. Obviously, the turf installed a couple years ago, maybe a little longer. Always very impressive to check out. What's new to fans this year, if you haven't been lately, is the netting background, and I'm anxious to see what that looks like on BigElkTV.com. If I'm not in the stadium, obviously I'll have it on. And we encourage a lot of people to go and be in the stands and check out the Big Elks on their way to, we hope, the state tournament. But they got to get a couple of wins, three wins. Am I right? Three wins.
Yeah.
Three wins, and they're in. And a big opportunity for them. NBA playoffs well underway, and man, with each round, Aaron, the games get better and better, obviously, because the competition gets better and better, and none more better. I know we didn't really talk about it, but Golden State and Memphis, we talked about it on Monday, but that series, I just feel like is going to go the distance. But last night, we had the Heat taking a commanding 2-0 lead over Philadelphia. We'll start there. They won last night 119-103. Butler with 22 points, 12 assists, 6 boards. What's going on with Philadelphia? Are they just cursed? I mean, they're never – it just seemed like this might have been their year once they finally got Simmons off their roster. They got Harden. You think that'd help them. But that, again, Harden gets onto a team and he doesn't look like it's working. What's going on in Philly? What's your opinion there?
Well, the main thing right now is they don't have Joel Embiid. You know, almost impossible ask for them to be able to upset the Heat without Embiid. You know, Harden was way better last night than he has been, at least in the first half. So I think it was the first time he had scored 15 points and a half and taken more than 10 shots in the entire playoff run, which is mind-boggling to most of us when you think about the way his career has gone. And just, I mean, you're talking about a guy that's one of the greatest scorers of all time in the NBA. Just from purely putting the ball in the hole standpoint, there's very few that have done it better than James Harden. And so, you know, is it an age thing? Where is he at with that? It's hard to tell. But he was better last night. But without Embiid, they've got no chance.
Is it something about the playoffs? You know, you got a guy throughout the regular season. We've seen it here in Oklahoma City, what he did down in Houston, et cetera. And then the playoffs come in and start. And we saw, obviously, how he performed in the 2012 finals. My question is he doing too much on the big stage of the playoffs? Is it something about the playoffs and Harden that don't work?
I think it's more he does too much in the regular season. By the time he gets to the playoffs, he's tired. You know, and then obviously he's gained a little weight. He's looking too much like me and not enough like you right now. You know, I think that's a big part of why he kind of wore out his welcome in Brooklyn. And so he's not the same guy that we saw in Houston, he and Chris Paul teaming up, almost taking down the Warriors. You know, a lot of people think if Paul doesn't get hurt, that happens. But he didn't. And so he's just not that guy anymore. And, you know, I thought Jim was really made a great point yesterday when he was talking about, you know, it's one thing to try to start taking care of your body as a, you know, a 30-year-old or 32-year-old, whatever. A lot of times by that time, it's too late. You know, he's infamous, James Harden is, for enjoying the party aspect of being an NBA player. There's legendary stories about him in that 2012 finals run for the Thunder being out in South Beach all the time, you know, until late in the evening. So you kind of got to start worrying about that when you still think you're invincible. And I think we're seeing that catch up to James Harden just a little bit.
In the other game last night, the Suns, they take a 2-0 lead over the Mavericks, taking them down by 20, 129-109. Any worry about the Suns? I had a little worry about them when Booker went out, but, man, they look primed and ready to take that next step for a championship.
Okay. So, and rightfully so, all year long, who in the NBA was able to get praised for what they were doing at an advanced age? LeBron James, right?
Yeah.
You know, he did some incredible things in the regular season at the age of 37. You know, everybody marveled at what he was doing. And like I said, rightfully so. I mean, the guy had a, for that advanced stage, he had an unbelievable season. Chris Paul, you know what he is on Friday?
Is he 40?
37.
Oh, he's 37. I keep thinking he's older because I keep thinking that the Hornets, when they were in Oklahoma City, was like, way long time ago, you know, and it was. And of course, he played his rookie year here. So I keep adding years to him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he's 37 on Friday. And so not only is he doing it, you know, regular season-wise and helping his team to the best record in the league. Last night, and then, I mean, these two games, he has been phenomenal. Just, it's amazing to me that a dude that's of his size in that league can get to where he wants to go as much or better than anybody in the game. It's like you cannot keep him from that right elbow jumper. No matter what you do to defend him, he figures out a way to get there. And I promise you, when he gets there, he's making it.
Yeah.
I think he was, what, 11 of 16 last night?
Yeah.
And the feel, you know, he was a natural comparison all these years with Russ, right? A big part of it was the Thunder and the Clippers would play in the playoffs. Those two would go at it at the same position. And they were totally different players, right? I mean, Russell was more bull in the china shop, completely out athleticized what Chris Paul could do. But Chris Paul was, you know, the consummate point guard type guy, you know. I mean, if you designed how to play the position, I think a lot of guys would design Chris Paul. And his feel for the game is off the charts. He understands, okay, I need to score tonight. Okay, it's Book's night. Okay, it's Ayton's got a great matchup. Okay, it's Cam Johnson off the bench, not coming in, knocking in threes. He is just, his nickname on the internet is Point God, for those that don't know that, which is, you know, a little bit much, but at the same time, as far as understanding how to play basketball at the point guard position, you'd have to search long and hard to find a guy with the IQ and then also the ability to execute as well as Chris Paul has all these years. And it's just, he never ceases to amaze the way that he is able to do things on the court at his size, at his age, that not a lot of people in the history of the game have been able to do. So, you know, that was awesome to watch him last night. Obviously, he's got he's definitely got a tie to this area with the Hornets. And then I think, you know, his time at the Clippers, his time at the Rockets, there was some, you know, he's the guy that, if he's on your team, you like him. If he's not, he might irritate you just a little bit. But that year back in Oklahoma City, the way he handled that, going from, you know, kind of championship or bust teams for a majority of his career to a team that a lot of people thought was only going to win 20 games, and the way that he transformed that team that year, you know, people forget the role that the Thunder were on when everything stopped in Oklahoma City that night the Jazz were here. You know, from like Thanksgiving on, they were the second best team in the league. People forget, you know, where that season might have ended up with home playoff games, not the bubble, not everything kind of getting thrown into disarray. And Chris Paul was the reason for that. And I think that's where he kind of re-endeared himself to the Oklahoma City fans, to the Oklahoma City, the state of Oklahoma. And I think there's a lot of people without the Thunder being involved that are going to kind of gravitate toward rooting for the Phoenix Suns. And a big part of that is because of Chris Paul and the way he handled that year back in Oklahoma City.
I know I say this because Oklahoma City was going through a rebuild, and probably still are, but so it's easier to root for opposing players even when they're playing Oklahoma City because you know what the outcome's probably going to be. But Chris Paul is a guy, I know you said you're either going to love him when he's on your team or he's going to annoy you or not root for you. He's a guy that is hard not to root for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, until he starts kicking your players in the nuts like he did the other night, he's known for. I mean, you know, I'm not sitting here putting a halo over his head like he's Mr. Angel of the NBA. No, 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 no. I'm not going there because he's still fiercely competitive. And for a guy, you know, I talked earlier about needing to kind of get your body going at a younger age when you think you're indestructible. You know, he did that a little bit, but think about what he's done since he came back here to Oklahoma City. You know, became a vegan, for heaven's sakes, and that was specifically designed to stretch out and further his career, but not only further it, but also further it at the level that he was accustomed to playing. And I think you can make the case that right now that dude is playing as good as he ever has in the NBA. He's just incredible to watch. And, you know, like I said earlier, LeBron got all the credit in the world for being great at 37 throughout the a regular season where his team didn't even make the damn playoffs. What about Chris Paul, who's turning 37 Friday, who just got a team to the finals last year, and he looks poised to do that again out of the Western Conference this year? It's awesome, and he needs to be getting a lot more credit the way that LeBron did all season long for what he's doing. Now, a guy on that other end of the spectrum that was more of the Russ guy, what about Ja Morant, man? Holy crap. That dude, it's like you're watching a guy take three leaps forward right in front of your eyes with what he's doing for Memphis.
Oh, I thought you meant the way he dribbles, but go ahead.
He is just, man, he's athletic. He floats. It's like he never comes down. What do you think? What's the ceiling for Ja Morant?
I hope we're not seeing it because he's so young and he's looks like to be that next superstar in the league. So I hope we're not seeing it, and I hope the ceiling hasn't been reached yet. And that's crazy to say because of everything you said. He is so awesome and electric and dynamic to watch, runs the point so well, and again, can slash and do all the good things. And again, it's crazy to say that he could get better. I mean, that in, as a progression of an NBA player is, you see that where a guy, he kind of reminds me of the trajectory of a Russell Westbrook, you know. Took a guy's like, okay, he's a nice player. A lot of people around here questioned the pick when Russell was drafted. I don't think so much was questioned about Ja Morant in Memphis because I think that was all a part of the plan. But he is so dynamic like Russell was early in his career. And we saw where Russell went. He became an MVP. And now we see where Russell is. That comes with age and time. But that's what's, again, it's crazy to think that Morant could get better than what he is. So I don't think we've seen the ceiling is my answer. I don't think we've seen the best of Ja Morant just yet. We're seeing good stuff, yeah. But I think we could see some really, really special stuff in the future from him.
I think there's two things that it's going to boil down to exactly what that ceiling is. One, can he consistently shoot, say, 37 or 38% from three? If he can, then good luck. Because, you know, that was the thing about Russ, being able to, maybe not from three, but he could always have that shot right there at the nail, at the free throw line, the pull-up jumpers from the elbows, as he was able to, you know, if maybe he didn't have that full step on you getting down the lane, he could always stop on a dime and shoot that jump shot early on, and it was almost automatic. If Morant can be able to develop that and continue to be at that level, at, say, 38% from three, then you can't keep him out of the lane because you can't go under screens. He'll knock down threes. That's one. And then defensively, where can he get to? And as far as where does he end up in the, you know, what tier does he end up all time? I mean, he's on a great trajectory, but there's still a few things that he has to continue to improve, continue to kind of hone his skills. And if he does, now you're talking about one of the all-time greats at that point because his athleticism is off the charts.
This matchup again, I rave about it. Grizzlies and Warriors.
Aren't you glad the Grizz won? Like,
yes.
As much fun as the games would be, if they lose game two, it's over.
Yes. It's
over. So at least it's going back to, and maybe puts just a little bit of pressure on the Warriors as well. You know, the one thing, sure, they drafted some young guys and Poole, and we'll see what Kuminga can turn into. Obviously, Moses Moody out of Arkansas is there as well. You know, some guys that you don't even realize are on that team yet because of those veterans. But those guys, I mentioned the word veteran, those guys are older and been hurt a little bit. You know, Klay looks like he's kind of coming back to a little bit of the old Klay, but is he, you know, injury-wise, can he avoid that? And so that's where this, being able for Memphis to win that game too, makes this series a lot more interesting because now you can see a way. If they can split, now it's a three-game series with two of them on Memphis' home floor, you can kind of see a path for Memphis to actually make it to the Western Conference Finals, whereas if they lose the other night, that ship has sailed.
The Warriors, Draymond Green, he's the heel of the NBA. His next career should be at the WWE, not on the broadcast table, because I wouldn't watch. I'd watch the WWE stuff. Defending him or playing against him, I think my it's simple. Go after him and get in his head.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess he's an interesting cat, man. He always has been. And he's speaking of guys that you love if he's on your side and you hate if he's not. I mean, he's kind of the ultimate guy like that. You know, a little bit of a, you know, like Gabe Maneki used to be at Texas. If everybody that's a name from way in the past. But he was the guy that, you know, or Jeff Sutherland, remember him? Or Jason Sutherland, I mean, from Mizzou. Remember him back in the Big 8 days?
Yeah, or Leitner, man. I mean, Duke fans loved him. And, yeah, this is more of a national level talk here. They loved him.
I mean, they literally made a 30 for 30 called I Hate Christian Leitner. I mean, there literally is that.
Yeah, and that's the same approach Draymond Green. If you're wearing a Warriors jersey or T-shirt or cap, you love the guy. You love that intensity and what he does. But when you're opposing, and shoot, not even opposing. You know, I like the Grizzlies, and they're kind of my secret pick to get to the finals. But you know, I even if I'm not a Grizzlies fan, and clearly I'm not, but just watching Draymond, man, it just irritates me. Maybe I'm too old school, but I'm like, man. And a caller called in to Mark yesterday. You probably heard it. And he made a good point. He's like, man, you got kids who are watching this guy. You don't want kids acting like that. Does he not realize that? I mean, to be a role model. And I completely understand that.
Hey, like Chuck said years and years ago, we ain't no role model. We ain't here to play role model. Speaking of Chuck.
But the flipping the bird stuff and walking off the court, I mean, come on. That stuff just you can yell and scream. And I know if you're upset, fine, but the flipping the bird stuff, that's where I think the lines cross a little bit.
Yeah, but that's that heel mentality from the WWE that you talked about that he's really got. And he embraces it. That's the one thing about him, when he does that, it's not fake. You know what I mean?
No.
That's him.
Yeah,
that's him. You know, he's not putting on a show. He's not trying to be somebody he isn't. It's not, you know, I'm not going to tell you he's the toughest guy out there, but I don't think he's a fake tough guy either. You know what I mean? Like some of those other guys, just because of, you know, where he came from, and as a Michigan State guy, I don't think you can be a fake tough guy and play for Izzo. But you got to at least respect his. You know, he's been in that character for his entire career, right? Like, he doesn't come out of, you know, a lot of those method actors, you know,
sure,
where they have to try to stay in the moment. He hasn't come out of that his whole career. So, you know, he's just another the Warriors are, other than they just beat you, they're really pretty likable. You know, Steph and Clay, it's fun. They get up and down the floor. I think that's secretly why a bunch of people hated Durant going there so bad, is because they kind of liked watching him play. And then at that point, you know, well, can't like them anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it was a fun brand, but they got to have somebody you don't like. And turns out Draymond is more than happy to be that guy.
Absolutely. Well, last night, outside of the watching the Storms and a little bit of the basketball, I found myself locked into hockey. NHL
Man.
Playoffs happening, Stanley Cup playoffs happening right now. I've always gravitated to a team that has a lot of hockey history. And then when they once upon a time had a connection to Oklahoma City and I was able to go watch there, I guess it was a AAA affiliate. I'm not sure if they call them that in hockey. The Barons. I'm talking about the Edmonton Oilers. So I watched them play the Kings last night. They won 6-0. But I was reminded how fun hockey is to watch, especially in the playoffs.
Hockey. The hockey play, there is almost nothing better. And people are going to probably throw stuff at the radio and say this because, you know, this obviously is in the giant hockey area. But if you love sports, there might not be anything better in sports than a game 7 in the hockey play.
Oh, yeah.
And if you can figure out a way to even get that in the Stanley Cup Finals, then it's the ultimate.
Yes.
Because it is just it is so fast paced. I mean, I know a lot of people get frustrated with it because they can't really see the puck. And you know what? If you don't watch it's pretty hard to kind of follow it because you're not sure how the game works. But if you'll just watch it a few times and kind of get a little bit of an understanding of, okay, here as they're moving, you know, here's kind of where it's probably going to be.
Yeah.
You know, oh, it's a blast, man. Watching playoff hockey is the one thing that I know a lot of people don't do, and it would be the one thing that I would encourage tons of people to do because it's fast, it's fun, you know, it's physical. There's a clear animosity between certain guys and certain teams that you're always looking for, you know, in playoff anything. No, hockey is great. I would definitely encourage people if you're not a hockey fan or you haven't really watched any, I would try it. And you can always, and the good news is, you can kind of pick a team depending on, you know, what you like and what you don't like. You can always, you know, there's, if you want to pick misery, and you're one of those fans that just wants to continue to beat yourself up over and over and over because your team isn't going to win, like, say, you know, a Cubs fan or somebody like that, you would want the Toronto Maple Leafs because they never figure out a way to do anything good. You know, if you want to be more like the
consistently playoff teams, Toronto,
and they never win.
But they never win, yeah.
That's right. So
unfortunately, they're going up against the, what is it, two-time defending champ Lightning, Tampa Bay Lightning.
Right.
And they're, you know, so that might continue for them.
If you like, you know, if you like the Warriors, you like the new flash in the pan thing in the NBA, the Lightning would be where you'd gravitate toward because they're the one now. If you like the old blood, if you like Celtics or Lakers for NBA or for, you know, like the Steelers or Cowboys or Dolphins maybe in the NFL, you'd probably pick maybe, you know, the Canadiens, Montreal would be your pick there to gravitate towards. It's got something for everybody. And if you're just more of a local guy, Dallas has a team, you know, right down the road. So I would encourage people. I'm glad you brought that up because the hockey playoffs are so much fun to watch if you'll just give them a chance.
I got a buddy from the text line, Blackhawks, over in Chicago. I also have a buddy that loves the Chicago Blackhawks. He loves anything Chicago. You mentioned the Cubs. Steve's a big Chicago guy. So I keep an eye on them. But like I said earlier, the Oilers, I kind of gravitated to them when the Barons were in Oklahoma City. I was able to catch a couple of those hockey games. And by the way, I don't care what level of hockey it is. If you've never been to a hockey game, go to one. If it's Triple A, double whatever. If you happen to be traveling and it's a high school game, go to a hockey or a college game. Go to a hockey game. There's so much. It's kind of like soccer, I guess. Some people don't like to sit down and watch soccer on TV, but when you go to a game, it's a lot of fun. What's that?
Except for it's fun to watch.
Okay, that's Aaron Skinny Cow. but hockey's
outside of, you know, it's fun to watch. It's a lot like soccer, except for it's fun.
Hockey, man, you mentioned this, the pace of it's so fast, but being at a game is incredible. And but like I said, the Oilers, and they're playing the Kings, and there's also a Wayne Gretzky connection between both those teams right there. So that's – that in Edmonton, they've been longing to get back to a high level of hockey, deep playoff runs, and they're almost there, I think, with Connor McDavid and all those guys. But yeah, hockey, man, I was hooked on the hockey last night. Let's take one.
Listen, I'm not going to condone anybody watching soccer, but I will fully support people watching hockey.
And I'm so ashamed because I don't get fully invested into it.
Scott Garrison hitting the text line yet?
What's that?
I said, is Scott Garrison hitting up the text line yet?
No.
With the disparaging comments of soccer.
Not yet.
I'm sure
he will.
Does
he have your number?
Yeah,
because he might be blowing up your personal text line.
I probably got some messengers from him that aren't very nice.
Again, that was Aaron Kalk who said that. Getting ready to get some baseball going over there at Ackley Park, as you hear in the background. Skinny is on location at Ackley Park getting things set up. He's going to have the broadcast of the baseball game on BigOakTV.com only. Head on over there, click on the baseball tab, and you'll be able to watch that one. We'll also have coverage of the Elk City Elkettes at the 4A Girls State Golf Tournament at Buffalo Rock in Cushing, Oklahoma. They're not going to start until noon, a high noon shotgun start. Going to try to get 18 in today, and I think they will. And they'll continue that into tomorrow. Tonight we have soccer, Elkettes, on the road up at Woodward, second round of the 4A playoffs, as they won on Tuesday afternoon. Turn around, play up in Woodward tonight. We'll have that one on BigElkTV.com. And then tomorrow we'll have more golf coverage, baseball coverage. What am I missing? I think that's it for the wrap up this week, and we'll see what happens on Saturday. If there is an if necessary game for the Elk City baseball team, we'll have that one covered too. I think I got it covered right there. Again, it all starts on BigElkTV.com, and we have it set up where we can cover multiple sports at one time if that is the case, if that is called for, and just surf on over there, click on the tab of what games you want to watch. Reminder, Class A and B baseball state tournaments have been delayed by a day. So the first round will start not today, but tomorrow. Class A and Shawnee, all the same times, just pushed back a day. So the first round on Friday, semifinals on Saturday, and the finals on Monday, not Sunday, on Monday. Class B, same situation. First two rounds at DeLisi Park, Putnam City, Oklahoma City, and the championship game will also be at Shawnee. Local schools, Canute and Granite, playing at 1:30 tomorrow. Canute taking on Hydro Eakley, and Granite taking on Roth. Granite is kind of one of those sleeper teams for me, too. I really like Granite.
Yeah, I think Granite beat the Elk the other night.
Little tune-up game.
Yeah, you have no idea who pitched.
Yeah, but hey, you don't get better by playing. Yeah, so Granite's been on a good roll this year, and they I know they also played Canute and toward like the last regular season game, I think right before districts or between districts and regional, kind of same situation. And they gave Canute everything they could handle before Canute came back and won that one, I believe, by like a run. So Granite's a team, just Roth better be ready for them. Canute better be ready for Hydro Eakley. I was looking at Hydro Eakley's schedule. Man, they, you know, like Canute, Hydro Eakley can put up a lot of runs. That game could have a lot of runs scored tomorrow at 1:30 over in Shawnee. Okay, what else we got to talk about? You know, we didn't get to it. We could probably wrap up with this. It came out last night from some pretty reliable sources that OU is about to sign a deal with ESPN Plus and get a lot of their sports on ESPN Plus and basically off of Bally Sports. I love this. I absolutely do, because one, I'm an ESPN Plus subscriber and an OU fan, and it's a lot cheaper than what Bally Sports is about to unveil. They're about to come out with a subscription streaming service, which I thought, okay, that's great, because I could watch my Texas Rangers, who won last night, by the way. But I saw the price. It's like $20 a month for this Bally Sports thing. So kudos to OU to get out from that and to get with ESPN Plus. And I think this is just kind of going to be like a placeholder until they get to the SEC, and then they're on the SEC network anyway. Did I lose you? I totally lost Aaron. Well, finishing my thoughts on that one, though. Okay, I think we got him back. There we are.
I hung up on you. I had you on speaker, and then I hung up.
That's
on
fine.
You.
Did you hear what I said? I said I think that this is kind of like a placeholder for OU to get on ESPN Plus until they're in the SEC, and then they're a part of the SEC network anyways, which, of course, is ran by ESPN. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's right. Also, it seemed like I saw that they're the only school as of right now that has a deal like this with ESPN Plus, an exclusive rights package for now. But I think you're exactly right. It's just, you know, it's going to be a better platform to get their content out than what Bally Sports has been, quite frankly. They've got everybody kind of talked into the ESPN Plus model with basketball and obviously these spring sports as well. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like When it was football and ESPN Plus, everybody was kind of mad about it. Now it's a little bit more accepted of, hey, this is the way it's going to be. And so I think it makes a ton of sense. And with the move to the SEC, obviously ESPN is going to be a major partner with OU Athletics and with SEC Athletics moving forward. So everything makes a lot of sense to kind of move away from the Fox Valley thing and into the ESPN family of networks with what's going on with the conference realignment.
Yeah, again, I like it because ESPN Plus, you know, we rip on ESPN a lot for their views and their stances on things, but I do enjoy ESPN Plus because of the price, the content. It's not watered down content. There's some pretty good stuff, both what you can read and find on their website, and then able to watch. Like, they have a deal with Major League Baseball where you can pick up a game in the middle of a Tuesday afternoon in Philly or something like that. Now, it's out-of-market stuff. You can't get, you know, for me, my Rangers, but at least it's not just – it's not cricket. You know, it's real – it's baseball, and I like how – and it's easy to access. I'm all about it, and again, I think there's something just to hold over until OU officially joins the SEC.
Yeah, well, and they, you know what else they've done? They've really kind of dipped their toe in the PGA Tour market as well.
Yes. Season,
there's a lot of that content that's available through ESPN Plus in the early round coverage right now. I guarantee you, you can watch golf, PGA Tour golf right now.
I had an alert on my phone just about that very topic, and I've clicked away from it. But, yeah, I mean, they do. They and it's not – it's not a bunch of no-name golfers. It's the big guys in those earlier rounds who are teeing off in the morning flights and stuff like that, and you could watch them. And, again, I love this, and they said this announcement could come as early as today, maybe even tomorrow. So we could be talking about a done deal on Monday. I think it's a step in the right direction for OU because ESPN, I mean Texas, they have their Longhorn Network until basically they get into the SEC. This isn't a Sooner network, but it's the next best thing. And I don't think OU wants their own network. I mean, now's not the time to do that. Hey, it's 10 o'clock. We got to go. Aaron's going to be on the air in about 45, 50 minutes for a pregame. First pitch at 11 over at Ackley Park. If you can't go, we got you covered on BigElkTV.com. We'll have golf updates throughout the afternoon once they start at high noon. And we'll have soccer tonight at 7:30. Aaron, I'll be right over with your sign, so sit tight. I'll see you in a little bit.
Right. Yeah, I might bring some duct tape if you can find that as well.
I'll jump all over it. We'll see you in a little bit.
All right.
Coming up, we got the Huntman in just a little bit. Much, much more sports coverage throughout the day. Thanks for tuning on in. We'll be back in studio tomorrow. You've been listening to The Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to The Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.